Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 26 to 31. Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the suffering servant, dear fellow redeemed. Tragedy often brings tears to our eyes. Suffering, the loss of loved ones, does the same. Sometimes even a sad movie causes our eyes to get misty-eyed. God gave us tear ducts to cleanse our eyes. And sometimes a good cry does just that. Cleanses the emotions. This morning, in our sermon text, we have a situation of just one of those kind of causes. The death of Jesus was indeed a tragedy. He was an innocent victim being pounded into the dust by some very powerful religious leaders and by a cowardly government that wouldn't do anything about it. In fact, as Jesus left Jerusalem for his crucifixion, a large crowd began to follow after him. We're told women were following, wailing and lamenting and crying because he was going to suffer on the cross. And suddenly Jesus stopped and turned to them and said to them, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your own children." We need to listen to these words too, because again, this morning, our Lord directs us to his cross. And so our theme this morning is, see his cross. Shed no tears for Jesus. Our first point, Jesus doesn't need anyone's sympathy. The gospel writers indeed give a graphic picture of our Savior. We see the brutal truth of his suffering, of his death. If there ever was a tragic event, that was it. He'd been arrested in the middle of the night, taken and illegally tried and convicted by the Jewish people. The next time they saw him was early on Friday morning, now in front of Pontius Pilate on trial. The Jewish court convicted him of blasphemy because he said he was the Son of God, which was the truth, but they didn't believe him. Pilate didn't have the courage to stand up to their charges. He interviewed Jesus, was convinced that he was innocent. So what did he do? Set him free? No. He whipped him. He beat him. He humiliated him and presented him in front of the angry Jews. The soldiers beat him and bloodied him. And then finally, Pilate issued the command to go out and crucify him. The soldiers then stripped Jesus, scourged him, put a crown of thorns in his head, and then pounded it into his head, put a reed in his hand, and some robe on his back, and humiliated him further by calling him king. What a tragic figure. How terribly sad. Then the soldiers took Jesus and carried him out to his crucifixion with two other criminals. The beating that Jesus received was so great that he could not even carry his cross. He'd been up all night, hadn't eaten since the Lord's Supper was instituted, been beaten so that he was wasted. So they grabbed Simon of Cyrene, had him carry Jesus' cross, and this brutal spectacle caused a crowd to come about. Kind of like today, when we see something happen. Such events were taking place in front of all people in Jerusalem. Not in some back alley, as the Jewish leaders wanted, but in front of everybody to see. What a tragedy. How terribly sad. What makes this so even more tragic was that Jesus was not only innocent, he had done nothing wrong for the crimes of which he was charged, but he was perfectly innocent, perfectly holy. He spent his life doing and giving and caring for others. He was not some kind of rebel. He did not preach revolutionary tactics. He gave and he served. He preached God's love to sinners, lost sinners. He reached out to heal those who came to him. In fact, just earlier that night, Jesus healed the ear of one of those soldiers who came out to arrest him. 5 days earlier, on Palm Sunday, the city came out shouting praises to Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then on that Good Friday morning, they were changed to cries of anger. Crucify him. Away with him. Crucify him. And now all those shouts of joy and cries of anger were changed into mourning, wailing, and weeping. The scene brought tears to the eyes of the women. This certainly is a human tragedy of immense proportions. It's a story of betrayal, a story of great suffering, a story of injustice. If you think murders and injustice in our society deserve to be newsworthy, imagine if this happened today. How many TV programs would be showing it all around the world? And it would stir the hearts and emotions of people. But Jesus turned to these crying ladies and he said, "Do not weep for me." Why not weep for Jesus? Well, for one reason, Jesus is human, just like you and me. This is a human tragedy. Jesus was bleeding and suffering just like those women could bleed and suffer. He was rejected by his own disciples. His own countrymen said, "Away with him. We don't want him." They even chose Barabbas, a criminal, rather than Jesus, the loving, serving rabbi. He appeared to be a helpless victim of all in authority. But he's just like us. And that is why we should not weep for Jesus. Because he's just like us. Because he is our substitute. He came to take our place. Our bodies too would bleed at the brutal torture that Jesus endured. Our bodies too would die. His body was no different. Jesus, fully human, just like us, and is our substitute. And so as we hear Jesus say to these women, "Do not cry for me," we too need to wipe away the tears from our eyes and see Jesus' cross. See the reason for why Jesus came into this world. Jesus became human so that he could take our place. He became sin, your sin and my sin, so that we'd be freed from our sins and acquitted before God's justice. Paul said that. He said, "For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus left Jerusalem beaten and bloodied by Roman soldiers, stumbling as he walked up to Golgotha, Simon carrying his cross behind him. Tragic? Yes. Sad? Immeasurably so. And yet, Jesus says, "Don't shed any tears for me." And yet it's hard to be unmoved by this tragedy. As we see Jesus going to the cross, being forsaken by his heavenly Father, being damned in our stead, because everything he did was for us. Our hearts are moved with love and reverence for our Savior, who loves us this much. We're moved to gratitude that he took our place. He suffered what we deserved in his cross and all that happened in his passion. We can truly see how wide and deep and high and long Jesus' great love is for us sinners. But that's not what those weeping women saw. They were not crying because they saw the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Son of God, going to die. Their sentimental outpouring upon Jesus and their tears revealed that they did not understand that Jesus was willingly going to be a substitute sacrifice, willingly going to the cross for their sins. It was mere human sympathy and pity, which for Jesus was more of an insult than it was honor and homage. Their tears showed ignorance and rejection of Jesus rather than trust and forgiveness and faith. Jesus doesn't want our pity. He doesn't want to be pitied. He wants to be believed in. He wants to be trusted. So Jesus says to them, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." That leads us to our second point. Shed tears for your own tragedy. Why should they weep for themselves? Well, Jesus tells them very clearly, "For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, the breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green tree, what will be done in the dry?" Jesus wanted to shift their attention from the tragedy of his death to the reason for his death, that he was doing this for them. Jesus asked them to refocus their attention, their vision to his cross. He did this by asking them to see their own tragedies and to see the tragedies of their own children. The city of Jerusalem was hastening toward its destruction. Soon the Lord God would allow the city of Jerusalem to be taken over by the Roman soldiers, and then the women who never gave birth would be the ones who looked upon as being blessed. What a twist in that beatitude. In the Old Testament, barren women looked upon as being cursed. Women who had children looked upon as being blessed. But when Jerusalem was being overthrown, those who were barren were blessed because they did not just see their children being ravaged and killed, because they had called on upon themselves this judgment when they said, "Let his, Jesus' blood be upon us and upon our children." In less than 40 days, Jerusalem would be utterly destroyed by the Roman army, as Jesus had clearly prophesied when he was praying for Jerusalem. We're told from historical accounts that mothers had to watch their children being slaughtered. And because they were surrounded for such a long time without any food, parents and people turned to cannibalism. In fact, Jesus says, It got so bad that people would cry out, "Hills, cover us! Mountains, fall on us! Kill us quickly!" Sort of die. Such a terrible, slow, painful death. But Jesus wasn't just warning these women about this upcoming destruction of Jerusalem in 40 years. The warning is very clear. He's talking about Judgment Day. What is needed is not tears for Jesus, but tears of repentance, tears of godly sorrow, tears which we pray because of our sins against God. Jesus said earlier, when in his ministry, he said, "Unless you too repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus concluded this section with a very strange statement. He said, "For if they do these things in the green wood or green tree, what will be done in the dry?" What does that mean? Well, these events were taking place while Jesus was there, on this earth, speaking to people, teaching them the word of God. Jesus is that green tree. He had come down to visit his people, to nourish them, to feed them the word of God. And they took that green tree and they cut it down. Despised, betrayed, denied, forsaken, spit upon, bruised, mocked, bleeding, and then also then bowed under the weight of his own cross, he was crucified. The green tree, Jesus, was led out to die. If men would do such things when the green tree was there, Jesus was there, what in the world is going to happen when it's dry? If unbelieving men took the Son of God and treated him worse than an animal, what would God do to the dry sticks and the dry trees, the unbelievers of this world? History bears out what happened in Jerusalem. We're told that not one stone was left upon another, totally annihilated. These dry trees, of course, are spiritually dead people. Those who rejected Jesus Christ. Those, as Jesus says in the parable of the trees, gather the dead branches, the dry branches, and cast them into fire and destroy them. But this warning also applies to all of us. Because we, prior to our conversion, were just like dead, dry trees. No different than the unbelievers of this world. The dry rot of sin still does its damage in our hearts and in our lives, in our thoughts, and the wages of sin is death. And we can't change that for the life of us. It is a curse that passes down from us to our children, to our children's children. Because we sin, we will all die. And if Christ does not live in our hearts, the message of salvation is not grafted into our hearts through faith, if his perfect life of obedience is not ours through faith, then we don't even realize that we have the sin rot living in us. We too need to shed tears, not for Jesus, tears for ourselves, tears of repentance, tears of godly sorrow, because we're helpless victims trapped in this prison, this body of sin and death. But the good news is we need to remember that Lent is a message of Christ's cross. Christ died for us. His cross is for us to see and to enjoy, for us to revel in, that God the Father loved us so much, Jesus loved us so much, that he was willing to go to the cross to pay for every single one of our sins. He's given us forgiveness, life, salvation, and we're grafted by faith into the vine, once dead branches, now living, spiritually alive, producing fruit. We're told he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So our human tragedy has hope in the end. That hope is the cross of Jesus. He took our place, a real human sacrifice for all of our sins, satisfied God's justice. You're forgiven. You're declared not guilty, righteous in God's eyes. No matter how dark the valleys, no matter how many of the tragedies in your life and in mine, it will not end in a dead end of judgment, the greatest tragedy of all. It'll end in Jesus welcoming us into his heavenly home because of his cross. So shed no tears for Jesus. Shed tears of repentance, godly sorrow, and cling to Jesus, your Redeemer. Let us tell that to our children and to our children's children, to all the world, so that Jesus will not have to say, weep for yourselves and weep for your children because you have no eternal future, just judgment. Tell them that the green tree came into this world and was cut down by ungodly people but gave his life so that us dry branches could be grafted into him to live forever. So as we sorrow over our sins and yet we rejoice in his cross and are glad. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.